HarperCollins presents Dreadwood Terror Tower by Jennifer Killick. Read by Marlo Chan Reeves. Chapter 1. Into the Dreadwood.
Not gonna lie, this is the most fun I've had in months, Gus says, jumping up to see if he can reach a leaf-heavy branch on an oak tree. He makes it, just with the tips of his fingers, sending the branch swinging gently and a shower of nature debris falling down on our heads.
Feels like I'm living again.
It's early summer, and the kind of weather where it feels like the sun is giving everything and everyone a recharge. I can feel the warmth soaking into my skin like medicine. See my forearms turning brown below my rolled-up shirt sleeves. And even though the past 6 months have been rough, being stuck in parent prison while the police look for the Latchets and fail to find them, of course, there's something about today that's given me a new burst of hope. I look up at the ancient trees around us and inhale the green of the Dreadwood.
Smells like freedom, I say with a grin.
You know what it also smells like, Angelo? Gus says.
It smells like money. Cold, hard cash filling our pockets.
We fist bump that, because who doesn't want to have pockets filled with money? Who'd have thought that Dreadwood High going meat-free for a month would turn out to be a good thing, I say. All those hungry students, trying to survive on beans and lettuce, desperate for a chicken nugget or a bacon roll.
Remember when Hume announced it? Gus says.
Felt like a strange and cruel punishment, I say.
It felt personal, goddammit.
Gus kicks a fallen stick, sending it sailing deeper into the woods.
Like he did it just to twist the shank. Everyone knows I can't live without a chicken burger.
And that sausage rolls alone get us through double biology with Miss Mahoney, I say.
Or art with Miss Heaps, Gus groans. Of all the butt-sucky things Hume has done, this one hurt the most. Or, I thought so at first.
Good thing we're experienced in dealing with horror situations, I say. As we get further into the Dreadwood, the sounds of the school field, the oof of a shoe against a football, the sudden shrieks of laughter through a group of kids all huddled watching something on one of their phones, the occasional yell of a teacher when they catch sight of a phone out, or overhear an especially bad swear, they all fade away to nothing. Soon, it's just me, Gus, and the rustling of the trees.
And we're blessed with entrepreneurial skills, Gus says.
And have contacts on the outside willing to work with us, I say.
Speaking of contacts, how far away are we from the rendezvous point?
Gus, we've spent days in these woods. How can you still not know your way around? A lot has happened here since our first term at Dreadwood High. Being hunted by genetically mutated giant spiders, stalked by the Latchets during games of flinch, falling in a pile of blood-drained animal carcasses. Everywhere I look, I see remembered images of the horrific things the Latchets put us through in revenge for some bad choices we made when we first met Colette. But if they hadn't, then me, Gus, Naira and Hallie would never have become mates and formed Club Loser, with Colette joining to make the perfect five. And today, the Dreadwood is our friend.
Because woods are just trees, Gus says, pointing at a cluster of pine trees in front of us. They literally all look the same to everyone except you.
Maybe because I've been reminiscing on past traumas, I jump when the crack of a snapping twig rings out behind us. I spin around to scan the trees.
Is someone following us?
Angelo, chill out, Gus says, not even bothering to stop.
It's probably a bird.
Sounded heavier than that, I say.
A badger then,
Gus says, looking over his shoulder.
Come on, or my cousin Bronwyn will want a bigger payment.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?